see you, and good to be in the house of the Lord. And I hope that you're having a good new year so far. Today we are having just a one-day special message entitled New Year's Resolutions. And next week we will start a new series, Connected, where we talk about being connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what that means. Connected to each other as brothers and as sisters in Christ, and connected in our marriage and what that looks like to be connected to our spouse. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians for the next 6 weeks, and I'm very excited about that series, and I think we're going to learn a lot and enjoy it. Well, if you happen to miss any of the messages due to weather or any other reason, coming up in the next few weeks, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com, and you can watch those messages, and I'd like to welcome those of you watching and listening online. As I said, today's message is entitled New Year's Resolutions. Have you made any New Year's resolutions? I think there are things in all of our lives that we'd like to be different this year, right? I think we all could go around and say, I'd like this to be a different in my life this new year. Things maybe in our family, things with the kids, finances, our job, health-wise, you name it. At the start of a new year, it makes us feel like anything's possible, right? It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. If we didn't think we could make changes in our life or changes in our body, I think no one would sign up for gym memberships, right? For some reason, the start of a new year, people just run to the gym and say, hey, now's the time. I'm going to get in shape. I gained some weight over the holidays, and I'm going to get back at it. One of my best friends from high school, Chuck, says January is just crazy. And how does he know? Well, Chuck works for a company that sells protein drinks and bars, and I'm so thankful he's my best friend for so many reasons, but one of the reasons is he sends me a ton of that stuff for free, and so I'm always taking those drinks, and I don't know that it's helping, but anyways, he says January is just a crazy month, and why is that? Well, he says it's because people made a resolution to exercise. They made a commitment to get in shape. However, that commitment quickly fades after the first 3 months. He says they often made more money in the first 3 months of the year than they do the whole rest of the year. And why does that commitment fade? Well, they get distracted. We all get distracted by other things like work, right? Important things. A family, a kids. Those are all worthwhile things and probably should come ahead of exercise. Nevertheless, Paul told Timothy that exercise is important. Let's look here at what he said in 1 Timothy 4:8. He said to Timothy, physical training is good, but training for godliness, becoming more like Jesus, is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. What's more important than exercise, work, family, and kids? Godliness. Godliness. What does godliness entail? Becoming more like Jesus. That's what I want for my life this year, and that's what I want for your life. I want us all to become more like Jesus. I want us to be on fire for Him. We watched this video of this young man here who said, you know what, before my commitment to Jesus was kind of in my head. It was more like a fire insurance policy. I didn't want to go to hell. And so I said the prayer and, you know, I in essence went through the motions of living for Jesus. But it wasn't till something in my life really shaped me and I needed to depend on Him that I realized just how much I didn't have Him in my life and needed to make Him first in my life. And I got literally on fire. let's make a resolution, a commitment that we're going to follow Jesus this year. We're going to seek him. We're going to put him first. What do we know about Jesus? Well, the passage we're going to look at today in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, says that he, that being Jesus, resolutely set out for Jerusalem. That he made a commitment to do this. Why? Because his heavenly Father called him to do this. He knew what God, his Father, wanted him to do. He was on a mission. That was his purpose. Jesus said, "For surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem." Surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. He knew why he came and what his purpose in life was. So he was laser focused. What about you? Do you know why you've been placed here and what your purpose in life is? Do you know why you've been placed here and what your purpose in life is? You've been placed here because God has people he wants you to reach. You've been placed here in this community to make a difference. You've been placed here in this community for such a time as this. And your purpose is to lead your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, the kids you see at school, to Jesus. How are the people you come in contact with going to react to this? Well, they may not always like it. How do we know this? Well, because the Samaritans didn't like it when Jesus set out to reach his people. Let's look here at Luke 9, verse 51. As the time drew near for him, Jesus, to ascend to heaven, Jesus what? Resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus. When you talk about Jesus, when you live for Jesus, people aren't always going to welcome you. They may not always throw open the door and welcome you, so to speak, because he was on his way to Jerusalem. Well, what should we do when people don't welcome us? James and John, his disciples, says, "Well, let's call down fire from heaven and burn them up." What did Jesus say to that? Verse 54. When James and John saw this, that they were being welcomed, they said to Jesus, "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Well, why did Jesus rebuke them? Because they weren't acting out of love, but out of racial prejudice. Here's a question. Why are you telling the people around you about Jesus? Why are you telling the people around you about Jesus? Now, this doesn't apply to everyone, because a lot of you are telling your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers about Jesus. But some of you, you haven't been, or you aren't doing that. Why is that? Why are you telling the people that you see every day, that you come in contact with on a regular basis, about Jesus? Is it because you don't like them? I don't know about you, but I need a greater love for the people around me. I do. I really do. I need a greater love for the people that the Lord has placed in my path, that I come in contact with on a regular basis. And this isn't something I can just manufacture. Instead, it's something I must ask the Lord for. Jesus, give me a greater love for the people you've put in my path. Whether it's the person I see at Walmart, the person on the street, wherever it is that I go every day, help me, Lord Jesus, that I may see these people through your eyes. That I may have a greater love for them. That I may care for them and about them, that I may make it my mission, that I may make a resolution to reach out to people. We not only need a greater love, but a greater commitment. We claim to follow Jesus. Oh, I'm a Christian, right? I go to church. But are we willing to go wherever he goes? Are we willing to go wherever it is that Jesus goes? Continuing on here, verse 57, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. Yes, Jesus, I'm behind you. I'm with you. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. What was Jesus doing here? He was letting this man know, you may have to give up some things to follow me. You may have to give up some things in your life to follow me. Well, wait a second. I'm not sure if I want to give up some things in my life to follow you. I like my life. I like my schedule. I like my routine. Unfortunately, I don't think most Christians are willing to give up some things to really seek Jesus, to follow him, and to put him first. Me included. Me included. If it conflicts with my schedule, then I won't be there. Well, I'm proud of our leaders, the guys that I've been meeting with consistently and regularly every 2 weeks here this last year. That is Austin Dodd, Donnie Manderfield, Brian Ponish, Brian Nickel. They've made a consistent effort to be at these meetings when we meet every 2 weeks, and we discuss things like how to be better husbands, be better men, be better leaders here in the church. And recently, that's one of the last meetings we had. Brian Ponish, who works at Hacker Nelson, we had the meeting at like 9:30 in the morning. And I didn't expect Brian to be there, but he was. And I said to Brian, I said, shouldn't you be at work right now? And he says, well, I got up at 4 a.m. and went in early so I could be here. I went home and I said to Monica, I wouldn't have done that. I would have slept in and said, I can't be at the meeting. Commitment. Right? Commitment. That's the kind of commitment we need. Jesus continues to extend an invitation to us. Even when we say, no, not now, Lord, I got other things to do, Jesus continues to say, hey, I'm here for you. Let's read on here, verse 59. He said to another person, come follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. What is it this man wanted to do? He wanted to go home and visit his dad, his father. I just went home to Tennessee to visit my parents. Right? I hadn't seen them in a year, and so I went home to visit them, and they were a little nervous about the COVID. We actually didn't even stay with them. We met them at a state park, and we got on our mask and 6 feet away. They have some underlying health conditions, but it was so good to see them and spend some time with them. And this is essentially what this man wanted to do here. Now, we don't know if his dad was close to death or had already died. We don't know that. What do we know? Jesus said our commitment to him should be greater than our commitment to family. That's what Jesus said. Our commitment to him should be greater than our commitment to our family. Hearing this, another man said, is it okay if I just say goodbye to my family then? But I'm not going to go home and spend some time with dad. I just want to say goodbye to them. Is that okay, Jesus? How does Jesus verse 61. Another man said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Well, what point is Jesus trying to emphasize here? What's he trying to point out here? Just how time-sensitive and important our commitment to him is. Right? No, right? I'm calling you right now. We're going right now. Are you in or are you out? What are you going to spend the bulk of your time doing this next year? Just think about that for a moment. What is it that your life revolves around? Is it going to be doing what you want to do or what God's called you to do? Just as Jesus chose the 72, he chose you. What does that mean? It means the instructions that he gave them are the instructions that he's given you and me. Well, what are their instructions? Let's read on here. Chapter 10, verse 1. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great. What does that mean? It means there's a lot of people out there today that are lost. They need Jesus. But the workers are few. What does that mean? There's not a lot of people interested in really being committed to Jesus, being on fire for him, pursuing those that are lost. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. What is it we need to do before we go out? We need to pray. Before we go out, we need to pray. What does prayer demonstrate? That we are dependent upon the Lord to open up the hearts of the people we talk to. You know, when I drive here on the morning, on Sunday morning, I always pray, Lord, open up the hearts of your people today. That what I say and what I talk about would not fall on deaf ears. That your word would not return void. That you plant seeds deep into people's hearts, that it would penetrate and that it would grow and it would produce fruit. That people wouldn't just come in here and walk out and say, oh, that's a good message. Where are we going to eat? Right? If we do this, why else do we need to pray? Because people can be like wolves. Right? Just tear you down, tear you apart, tear you up. Verse 3, now go, and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Man, we live in a rough world out there today. People believe all kinds of crazy things, think crazy. It's hard to talk to them. You never know what somebody's going to say to you today. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Stay focused on what I'm calling you to do. Why didn't Jesus want them to take any of these items with them on this journey, on their mission? Two reasons. First, God would provide. God would take care of them. Second, he didn't want them to linger too long in any one place. These disciples were on a mission. You and me need to act that way. I'm always on a mission. When I get in the car, I don't look around. I'm on a mission going wherever it is I'm going. Monica will get mad at me. Can't we just drive for fun? I said, drive for fun? We gotta go, right? There's no fun. We're on a mission here. Wherever it is we're going, we gotta get there and get there now. And she said, well, I just want to drive around and look around. Right? These disciples were on a mission. What were they to do when they arrived at someone's house? Give it their blessing. However, they were to house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. What else did Jesus want his disciples to do? He wanted them to be content with their accommodations. He wanted them to be content. Verse 7, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. What happens when we're discontent? What happens when we're discontent? We lose our focus. This world creates within us a discontentment, right? I don't know about you, but I'm never content. If you look at my strength finder test, I'm a maximizer. Whatever it is, I need more of it. It's not enough. I have this discontent. What happens when we're discontent? We lose our focus. The God of this world, Satan, that's the God of this world, wants us to be discontent. Right? Advertising is all about discontentment. You don't have the newest and the latest? Well, you better get it, or you're not going to be happy if you don't get that thing. Okay. Shopping on eBay or whatever it is, eBay is kind of my thing. I always see something I think that I need to have. It's best for me just not to go there. Right? Because as soon as I go there, I'm like, oh, I need that. I don't know how I can live without that. The God of this world, Satan, wants us to be discontent. We must resist him. Why? Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you remember what Paul told Timothy? 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Paul said to Timothy, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, we will be content. Do we have enough food and clothing? Yeah. Monica's flying back in 2 weeks. She's still down there at Eden in Tennessee. And man, she gave me like 2 suitcases full of clothing to take home. Right, all the clothing she got for Christmas and Eden got, she says, here, I can't get all this on the plane. Take it back in the car. Do we have enough food and clothing? Yeah. Therefore, we should focus on what really matters. What is it that really matters? You and me getting out the word to the city of Decorah, right? You and me telling people about Jesus. That's what matters. That's the resolution we should be making. I'm making a resolution this year to talk to more people about Jesus. Because that's what matters. Well, what if my coworkers, my neighbors, and my friends refuse to listen? What if they have out the hand and they don't want to hear it? Jesus says we should abandon those people to their fate. Well, this doesn't mean we give up on them. Instead, we let them know there will be consequences for their actions. Mainly, that they will be forever separated from the Lord on Judgment Day. Listen to what Jesus has to say in verse 8. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, they don't want to hear, they don't want to listen, go out into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust from your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. What do we know about Sodom? Sodom and Gomorrah, you know the story. Those people wanted nothing to do with the Lord. That's what we know about Sodom. They wanted nothing to do with the Lord. Because of this, God rained fire and burning sulfur down on them. expect something bad to happen to them. I didn't expect this last year to tear a tendon in my foot and not be able to walk for a couple months. But it happens. Bad things happen. And then sometimes it's too late. Listen to what Jesus says here. Verse 13. What sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For the miracles I did in you have been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon. Their people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. Yes, Tyre and Sidon will be better off on Judgment Day than you. And you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No, you will go down to the place of the dead. Listen here, we're about to wrap up. The message we've been given is one of life and death. The message you and me have been given is one of life and death. We don't want anyone to go down to the place of the dead, i.e. hell. Nevertheless, that's what's going to happen to those who refuse to listen. I'm not interested in church. Yeah, I know about it. Yeah, I got my fire insurance. I'm all right. I'll be okay. What did Jesus have to say? Verse 16. Then he said to the disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who is rejecting God, and anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. What is it I want you to notice here in these last verses? We've been given a tremendous responsibility. A tremendous responsibility. These 72 that Jesus sent out realized this. It weighed on them. They realized that they've been given a tremendous responsibility. The power they've been given caused them to rejoice. However, Jesus told them not to rejoice about the power they've been given, but that their names were written in heaven. Verse 17. When the 72 returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. With our God, we can scale any wall. We have victory in Jesus. Nothing will injure you, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Our joy is twofold. First, it comes from our salvation. Jesus has saved us. He set us free. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Second, it comes from being used by the Lord. I don't know where you're at in your walk in relationship. Maybe you're like this young man in the video, where it's just up here in your head, but it's not in your heart. And because of that, you haven't been very committed to the Lord. Maybe today would be the day you'd say, you know what, I need to give him my heart and my life. Maybe you're here today and you say, and I'm a Christian, but I don't know that I'm being used by the Lord right now. Because I'm distracted by other things. I'm distracted by my sports. That's my God right now. My life revolves around that. Or I'm distracted by my job or my family, whatever it is. These other things have so gotten a hold of me that I don't even think about what the Lord wants me to do and the mission he's called me on. Because I'm just focused on this. Would you pray that the Lord would break off that focus and bring me to where he wants me to be? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you. never made a commitment to the Lord. When this man talked in the video, I can relate to that. I want to ask Jesus into my heart. I want to ask him to be my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'd like to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me, and here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, and I'm a Christian, but I don't feel like I'm being used by the Lord. And I know it's because my commitment to him needs to be greater. I need a greater love and a greater commitment to his mission. I don't have the love for the people around me. The people I see, they aggravate me at my work. They get on my nerves, and I need help loving.